talking about conflict, actually, the other day. And I want to say that the word this morning about forgiveness is the word. It's the word right now. I really believe that this is a time right now where we need to examine our hearts and really clear out of our hearts anything that we have in them that we would be holding against someone, or holding an offense, or holding a grief, misunderstanding, or anything like that, because I feel like we're getting ready to lift off. I feel like the Lord is just going to be doing something. I have a few pictures of it. I feel like sometimes that the doors are just going to open wide and all the churches and the harvest people are going to come running in, and I want to be saved and healed and delivered, and we just need to be ready. But right now, I feel like there's a lot of under the surface things that we carry, and we just kind of, and what happens is I think we just put up walls with each other because we just don't want to have to deal with the conflict, which is the word that I started out with. We don't want the conflict. But the conflict, actually, we've not really participated in it, but we have seen how conflict lately has actually, it's like a whole bunch of stuff getting tossed in the air. It's very scary. And yet, because your hearts belong to Jesus, you know, you're trusting him in it, and it actually lands. And there's a song out there that they sing that, don't worry, everything's falling into place. It's not falling out, it's falling into place, something like that. But I feel like that's exactly what's happening in relationships. We can't do our relationships anymore where we're holding judgments and grievances and things against each other. We just can't do it anymore. We really have to be real and alive and loving, and we just got to get that. We've got to get that. And so if you're going to seek God, seek him for that, because I believe we're just tripping each other up. We're gonna be stumbling blocks for each other. You can't hold a judgment about someone and expect them to walk in freedom, or expect you to walk in freedom. It's not going to happen. It's really a time where we're going to forgive each other lavishly. We're just going to forgive. We're gonna release. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. It keeps no record of wrongs. I mean, what's that all about? So my word of encouragement and exhortation is, when you're seeking the Lord, just let him get at your heart. Let him get at your heart. And don't be afraid to, meet with people that you need to reconcile with and put away old things, because there's a much bigger thing happening than just our little lives, you know, and I feel like it's life and death. The forgiveness thing is life and death. We either forgive and release people like they've never sinned against us. I mean, imagine, that's the kind of forgiveness. You forgive and release people like they've never done anything that could have hurt your feeling. That's the forgiveness that Jesus is calling us to forgive each other with. And in doing that, we set ourselves free and we set other people free. And when you're praising God, the rewards are so beautiful. The Lord blesses it. He blesses it. So I'm just encouraging you to do that. And not to be afraid of a conflict, divine conflict. That's what I call it. I think that there's a divine conflict. There's a time where you can lay things on the table and you can express your heart. And we can actually get healed and be restored in relationships, because we've got to be prepared for what's coming, whatever that is, whatever it looks like. Amen.
Hallelujah. Did we miss it, or you want to try it? Yeah. That was so good, Christine. I love listening to what you get.
So I don't know about you, but can you feel the weight on that? So the Lord showed me that there's grace, that's his favor, his anointing, his presence, his strength to do it. Okay, it's not just empty words. God is going to equip you to do it. He's giving you what you need to do this. And the Lord showed me that so the offense lifts off. He lifts it off as you release it. And whatever else you're carrying, he lifts it off. And underneath, there's hurt and there's pain in the heart. And it's like the Lord says that he wants to comfort you. He wants to comfort you in that pain and bring healing. And as he does that, I felt like it's like the anointing is released. And for the work of your hands. He also is saying that the anointing is returning for the work of your hands.
Mm, that's very good.
Yeah.
So just get in receive mode right now, okay? Just kind of put your hands out. That's the way you'd receive just about anything if you want to. Going to get some pie or cake or. I was trying to think of things of great value to me. But you're gonna receive it, right? Jesus, would you just pour that out now on your beloved bride? Lord, go into those places that so need the healing touch, places that have been we've protected and have been afraid to let anyone in or anyone touch. Would you go to those places, Lord, and allow us to be healed by you and your wonderful Holy Spirit. And we receive it, Lord. We receive it from you. And we receive a renewal of the anointing in our hands. We're called to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. We're called to give, and when we do, it will be given. Jesus, we're called to use our hands in your service. But it comes out of relationship with you. The works are important, but it's works as they come from our connection with you. So Lord, would you touch those places in us right now? Sense that he's doing that with great pleasure right now. Nora made mention of the weightiness. Do you still feel that weightiness? It's here. He's here. Doing something absolutely wonderful. As Pastor Sam said, you may not notice it, but it's here. Sometimes we're just a little preoccupied and don't sense anything. But that's where faith comes in. If you're doing it, Lord, I want it. You know. Hallelujah.
Just want to be there for a moment because it's true. There's just this incredible weighty presence right now. The Lord is so beautiful. But I just want you to get in touch with, if you haven't already, some faces, people that you love or in relationship with. You know, you're not going to be able to maybe do this with everyone right now, but there's maybe someone that's significant that's on your heart right now. And I just want to lead you in a prayer. to really release them, to forgive and release. Like Stefan was talking about that catch and release. We're going to release something because I know for a fact that when we do that according to God's will, we see something happen. We experience actual things that change in our lives and in our relationships. So I just want to take that moment with you. So Father, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you bring to mind someone that you want, maybe there's one or two or three, that you want us to bring before you right now. People that you love, Lord, maybe that they've caused us some deep grief. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if you can just quietly repeat this, what I'm about to say, just from your own heart. Father, first I thank you for your forgiveness for me when I did not deserve it. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for withholding forgiveness, for withholding love, for shunning the person, for avoiding, stepping back, even building a wall of defense so that they could not hurt me again. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for that. Because that's not your way. Forgive me for being afraid, Lord. And before you, Lord, I say, I forgive that person right now, or those people in Jesus' name. I forgive them, and I release them from the judgments that I've had, the opinions that I have had about them, the things that I have decided that that's who they are, that's what they do, like I'm the judge and the jury. I forgive them completely and release them from those judgments and opinions that I have had. Because you know them, and only you know their heart. I do not know their heart, but you know their heart. So I release them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask you now, Lord, that you would bless them. Bless them even if they knew what they were doing, and bless them if they didn't know what they were doing. Because you said that on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Lord, I believe that we often don't know what we're doing. We don't know how far-reaching our comments can be or our actions can be. We ask you to bless those that have hurt us and insulted us and avoided us. And we ask those that you would bless those that we have hurt and insulted and avoided in Jesus' name. And Lord, your sowing and reaping principle is true. What we sow, we will reap. And so now, Lord, we have sown forgiveness. We have sown releasing people from judgments that we've had and opinions. So now let us reap your goodness, Lord. And I pray that not only would we reap your goodness and favor, but we ask that they also would reap your goodness and favor. In your mighty name. And I thank you, Lord, that your blood covers our prayer today in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Does that feel better? We didn't plan to do that. Just God showed up. You want to say something, Nance, or you just, yeah? That's a good picture. As she was seeing faces and forgiving their names, she saw them released into Jesus' arms. Yeah, so good. So good. Thank you, Lord. Juliana. Good. Here, just a sec. You're closer. I don't have to exercise to get to you.
I was reading Nehemiah.
Yeah.
And they do the action. And then when Nehemiah went back, they're building the wall. And it's all in rubble. The stones and bricks are falling. And the Lord showed me how to rebuild. All it takes is one brick. And place your brick back. And so I believe the Lord is showing where it's like when you're frozen. You can pick up one brick and place it back in that hole. And the wall will be built again.
Yeah. That's very good.
That's the picture.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You got something, Miguel? Okay.
I saw a box of matches.
Uh-huh.
And then I had like this snap picture of a match lit on fire and just thrown here. So I forgot saying that he's lighting a fire from him, yeah.
Very good. I like it. So the match came from high and throwing it down? All right. A couple weeks ago, I said that we were pouring water on the sacrifice, and we're looking for God to come down from heaven with fire. Miguel just got that the fire's come. So wait for the flame. We have till October 2nd, right? That's the new Rosh Hashanah. And so the year of Jubilee ends at that point. And so the timing is great. Thank you, Lord. We just so you're up to date, we received from our landlord another year's lease. So, we'll be here a year. Oh, that's good news and bad news. You know, we still are on the second floor. We don't have a way for people in wheelchairs and people that are less ambulatory to get up here. We would really like that the best, but it's a place. You know, we got a place to worship for a year, and just have to believe God for the payments all the time. My heart would be that we would have a place of our own, but we'll see what God's doing. This will be the end of our 24th year. We're going to go into year 25 in Thanksgiving. So, we started out with absolutely nothing, and we still have most of it. He's so good. He has a way of keeping me humble. Does he have that with you too? All week I've been preparing to preach on Psalm 65. It was in my reading and the daily readings and it just affected me so beautifully. And so I was seeking him about it and preparing to give you this wonderful admonition to enjoy the abundance of God. If you read Psalm 65, it's about, you know, he gives way more, you know, and he's an abundant God, and he's just doing wonderful things, and how we get kind of focused on what we don't have. Oh God, we need some more money. Oh God, you know, will you help us here? And it's all about the not enough, but he's the God of more than enough. And so if we focus on that, it makes a huge difference. There was a teacher one time that gave his students a test the test was face down when they all came in, and they all, in their anxieties, you know, wanted to turn it over, but they didn't. And so then he said, okay, it's a test. You got to go with this. And he said, okay, go, turn it over. Turned it over, and it was a piece of paper with a black dot in the middle. And the instructions were right about what you see. And so a few minutes to write, they all handed in their papers, and the teacher read every one of them aloud to the class. And each of them described the placement of the dot, the color of the dot, how the dot made them feel. And the teacher said, that's wonderful. Thank you for doing that. But the dot takes up such a small amount of the paper. No one mentioned the paper. All of this white that's there. An abundance of white. No one was focused. Hi, Daniel, are you preaching? It's for freedom. Christ set him free. Oh, that's a misappropriation of that verse? Oh, sorry.
Okay. So people missed the big white paper and all of the whiteness because they're focused on the small part. And so it was going to be a good preach, but he told me this morning I can't do that. So we're going to go somewhere else. We're going to go to 1 Timothy 6. As he's got something he wants to tell us out of there. So if you'll turn to 1 Timothy 6 with me. But the idea is that he is abundant and exuberant and is thrilled with his people. He loves us so much. No, he's just a kid. He's just a kid. I used to want to run like that too. But I used to get a handprint on my behind that would... Well, yeah. So he keeps me humble by taking away the things that I'm a little confident in and giving me something to bring to you that I've got to rely on him for more. So does that work for you? He gave us something absolutely delightful a few minutes ago. When he shows up and he has a word like what Nora got and what Christine got in there and releases it to us, there's an immediacy in all of that that is so good. And if we respond to that, we'll always be better for it. We don't want to miss those things. We don't want to be so tied to the time. Oh, we got to get out of here at a certain time. I'll get you out. I'll adjust what I've prepared. But he has good stuff for us.
Yes,
he's so faithful and so abundant. He's not just the God of just enough. He's the God of more than enough. More than enough sky. More than enough air. You know, he's not concerned about, you know, conserving. He wants us to be good stewards, but we don't have to be anxious about, oh my goodness, we're wrecking the earth, you know. He can repair it in a heartbeat. He's that big. But we tend to make him tiny. You know, he can't respond to all of the stuff that we've done. Just think about that for a minute, you know? Like the platform of the people who are into carbon taxes and things like that, you know? That's a money-making scheme to make money out of nothing. And it's frightening how we buy into it as Christians, because it sounds good. It sounds laudable. It sounds like they have the right priorities in place. But God, in a matter of an hour, dealt with every sin that was ever committed on the face of the earth. How long would it take him to repair whatever damage we've done here? We need to seek him and his kingdom, and all of these things will be added unto us. You want to be an environmentalist? Worship God with all your might. Hugging a tree isn't going to do it. Hugging your Bible may.
Yes, hallelujah.
Think about it for a minute. You know, like, we get so wrapped up. It's like, I'm getting off on a tangent here, so. We don't notice the things that we're taking on in baggage on the good ship me. You know, we start to believe things because, they're so dear to our hearts. So we take on little lies that make God smaller than who he really is, that diminish God in our sight and our expectation level. And we minimize God in so many ways in our lives as we take on the lies of the enemy, the lies of the world, and we don't notice it because it comes in so gently and over the course of time. Well, my car needs to be cleaned every now and then, whether I like it or not, because stuff gathers on the surface of it, the dirt and dust and bird stuff. You don't notice how bad it is until you actually wash it off. It's that color. Oh, my goodness. It's that way in our lives as well. We take on stuff that we don't notice. We haven't noticed how far we are actually from him. We haven't noticed how far we've removed him from the epicenter of who we are. And we put ourselves back on the throne so gently. Or we put something else on the throne, you know. I spoke 2 weeks ago about the picture from Ezekiel chapter 8 of Ezekiel looking into this hole that's in the Holy of Holies, you know, into the temple. And he sees all these pictures on the wall in there. And that's a direct picture of, you know, the Holy of Holies now is our hearts. A direct picture of our hearts. What pictures are there that shouldn't be there? What things have I brought in there that don't glorify God and that I'm going after? We don't even notice that stuff because it's so subtle. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to 1 Timothy. We'll get back on track here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I want to start in chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 6 to 16, I think, yeah. Chapter 6, verse 6. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Thank you, Lord. Just go back just to verse 5. And it says, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now that the health and wealth gospel was an issue when this letter was written. It's nothing new. And it can be twisted. It could be twisted then. It can be twisted now. The idea is that we watch for the truth. Godliness is not a means to gain. Godliness is about being with the Lord. Godliness is to His glory, not our gain. We'll get lots from it. You understand? It's the motives of the heart here. What is it that we're actually seeking? Is it Him and His glory? Or is it that we might live a life that is outwardly rich, but inwardly poor? So then we go on to verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. It's pretty clear, isn't it? The word preaches itself. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. And you notice there it doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. That's a misunderstanding of the word. It says, for the love of money, it's testing your heart again, is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, or O woman of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep that commandment unstained and free from reproach until the approaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Amen. Whew. There was juice on that as I was up here anyway. So what are we looking at here? What's on your plate these days? What have you got on your plate? Chances are that the first response you had to that question has little to do with food and a lot more to do with how full your calendar is. That's how preoccupied we are with food in this in this life, you know? We have become so obsessed with food that we even envision our lives as a dinner plate. What's on your plate? We look at things and we are careful about things. God says that things food is good for us. But we often have stuff around our homes that isn't good for us. I read a Facebook advertisement. You know, they sneak them in between your friends' things, you know. And so you think that one of your friends put it up. But it was from Probiotic America. And it said, 4 foods that are absolutely harmful to your health. And I was interested in that. I knew they weren't going to say donuts. Because that's good for me, right? Holy food. I've used that maybe 40 times and I still get a laugh. I had to wait 23 minutes before they identified any of those things. Watching those silly videos. And I know. 23 minutes. But I found out what they were. I'm going to tell you this morning. Right? So don't say you didn't get anything out of church today. The first one is, and I have a problem pronouncing it, azodicarbonamide. Azodicarbonamide. It's the whitening agent in flour. It will kill you. It's not bleach. It's this azodicarbonamide. Second thing is diet sodas. They say will kill you too. I drank them for years and I'm still alive. My new theology. Theology by experience. They say coffee will kill you. But when I listened a little more, it was the sugar that was in the coffee that will kill you, not the coffee that will kill you. It's just they're, you got to be careful of all these things that they're telling you, you know? I knew coffee was good. And alcohol. Alcohol will kill you. Our dear friend Sean will tell you that that's true. Sean, our friend for years and years, his doctor told him, if you keep drinking beer, you're going to die. Heart attack. Sean did not quit, and he died of a heart attack. So if you're affected by brain fog or you have gut yeast, it's kind of a bloated thing, or leaky gut, you have a problem with one of those 4 things. And they're an issue. I took a look and I found other things that different people say are killer foods. We're in trouble. There's a lot of killer foods out there. We can't eat just about anything without being concerned about it. And my goodness, Bayer just took over Monsanto, 66, isn't it? $1 billion in the transaction. Must be the devil, right? 66. I'm actually preaching this. Anyway, I'm just trying to shake up some conspiracy theorists. Get them all going. Anyway. So we got this mega corporation out there that has the intent of killing us all. So what's that have to do with what we just read in Timothy? Well, we need to be careful. And I've never lived in a time when I've noticed that everybody is aware of things at the level they're aware of things. I thought I was good when I read the ingredients on a box. I didn't understand most of what it said. I thought, I'm used to that. You know, I read Greek and Hebrew as, with help. You know, and so I look at these things, and, yeah, I don't understand that, so I'll look in a dictionary. This stuff is crazy. But people are really aware of what they're putting into their bodies. People have become obsessed. Well, not meaning to, but our whole society. I'm not pointing fingers here. It's about like people want nothing but organic and nothing but, you know, and it affects different people different ways, and some of it's psychosomatic, and some of it, you know, and you go, it drives you crazy, this whole thing. But we're obsessed with what we're putting into our stomachs because we know it's going to affect us. And we are not obsessed with what we're taking into our spiritual lives. We're not paying attention to the absolute killer garbage that we're taking in to our spirits and to our souls with everything we are watching and listening to and talking about as Christians. We find that it's so easy to have a negative response about leaders. Now, some of the leaders make it really easy. I mean, Trump, Clinton, Trudeau, they just make it too easy for us. So you slide into it. But it's not biblical. But we take it on as if it is. As if it's okay, I can handle that. You can't handle it. Your spirit cannot handle it. Your soul cannot handle it. It's not made for that kind of negativity. You're made for positivity. You're made to be positive all the time. And if you're having negative thoughts about anybody, be it a leader or a friend or someone, you need to get a hold of that. Take captive every thought. Because it will kill you. I'll write you a prescription. This stuff is incredibly harmful to us. And the stuff we watch and are okay with, abortion's not an issue anymore, really, because we're dealing with bathrooms and stuff like that. Gay isn't an issue anymore. Transgender is, but then our conversations go to, well, it's way worse than that. It's polyamorous, or it's bestiology, or like we're going, like that's the way society is going, but because it's going that way, we're being swept along with this thing, and it's okay. It's not okay. This stuff is not okay, and just because it's been around for 10 years doesn't mean it's okay. We were having issues with how do we tell people that are gay, that we love them. And it's the sin that we have a problem with. And then all of a sudden, the transgender thing is not only accepted, but it's taught in our schools, and it's become a part of the curriculum. And that happened in just a couple of years. And there was no great groundswell of, wait a minute, hold the truck. We got a problem here. Because it's not polite to say anything about it. You're not politically correct. You notice how they swung that in 15 years ago or so? That this political correctness, you're not allowed to say anything about like a broad brush of what a race of people might be like. Or, you know, that there's this tendency. Although there is this sin tendency in, you know. I'm Scottish, primarily in my roots, and we're cheap. It's how they invented copper wire. They gave a penny to two Scotsmen, and they... But there are sins that are connected to a people group. But if you identify that, you are a bigot. Doesn't matter what... And nobody wants to be a bigot, right? But what they're doing is shutting down the truth. They're shutting down truth. And you're not allowed to say the truth anymore. Hillary Clinton shows what she thinks, and she, as the queen of the liberals, is the one who decides all of those things, is that anybody that is thinking of not voting for her is in a basket of deplorables. That's how she has everybody categorized. It's okay for her to put all of these people into a basket. But if anybody else did, if you put a people group into a basket, you're a bigot. But it's okay for her. And it's okay for our prime minister, who won't think of having a problem with any kind of a people group or saying anything bad about anybody. I will not have a Christian in my cabinet. What is that? That's bigotry, period. But nobody can say, excuse me, sir, don't you think that's not in line with the rest of your life? It's okay if he does it, but if anybody else does it, he's high and mighty. And he's a wonderful guy. He's from BC, right? He's a picture for me. It's not the person that I'm after there. It's the absolute hypocrisy of people that have an incredible superiority complex about how they're thinking. And they have the audacity to tell us how to live, and that we as Christians need to rethink everything if we think that abortion is a sin. Hillary Clinton said we need to rethink and either get out of whatever religion we're in if we believe that, or just give it up, that thought process. Like, that doesn't square with the rest of her life. But that's never an issue because she is so intelligent and she knows better. It's like the emperor who had no clothes. Some little kid says, excuse me, you got no clothes on. Wrecked the whole day for everybody. Somewhere, somehow, somebody is going to expose the hypocrisy of all of this stuff. 10 tangents, sorry. So, 4 harmful foods that are in what we just did here. I've got 5 minutes to go over this thing, so... Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 6. Discontent is a harmful food. Just like sugar is the basis of lots of harmful foods, discontent gets into everything we're doing. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's only in contentment that you'll find peace. And peace needs to be the judge of all the things that we're doing. If you're not content, you will not find that place of peace. Godliness with contentment. If you're going after stuff, just waiting for the next thing, you know, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that, and you know, you're being driven by that whole thing, you will not be content. And you will not hear the voice of God saying, I got something better for you. I want to give you something else. Will you give that up? Andrea had a wonderful message for us this morning about consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. At the first service, some of you need to try that out at first service. It's really good. Anyway, she talked about laying stuff at the altar and God consuming it. And us not being kind of driven by stuff that is in our lives. To let God have it and let God consume it. And this discontent is one of those things. Notice it when it's in your life. Notice it when you have this kind of knot in your stomach and you're being driven by it. Be in touch with your body because your body's talking to you. A lack of peace is discontent. Second thing is in verse 9. Bumbity bum. But if we have food and clothing with these things, we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Harmful desires are the second thing. Discontent, then harmful desires. The pursuit of riches can cause people to fall into temptation and leave them trapped by many senseless and harmful desires. It's just like junk food. Junk food tastes good on your palate. And it's easy to consume. It's just there, ready for you. But it has no good, lasting value. Junk food is a harmful desire. But there's lots of other harmful desires in our lives. Stuff that we just know we shouldn't be going after. Because it does us no good. We need to have it because somebody else had it or because it's the trendy thing or whatever, you know. I want a new iPhone 7 because it has this beautiful camera in it, you know. But my old contract's not up yet, and so I'm mad at Apple. Their timing's off. So I have this harmful desire that could lead me to, you know, think more about iPhone 7 than God. I'm not gonna, because I noticed it. Problem identified, it's a problem half solved, right? Verse 10. I gotta get through this quickly. I'm enjoying it too much. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. Ooh. Pierce themselves with many pangs. May you never pierce yourself with a pang. Love of money is the third thing that is negative food that'll kill you. It's the love. It's not the money. The money is just a tool. But it's the love of money. You know, I got to get more money. And money becomes the focus and the contentment, if I have enough money, then I'll be there. That's a poverty spirit. It's the opposite of what we think we're actually going after. Some of the richest people in the world have the worst case of poverty spirit ever. You just never have enough of it if you have this love of money. The fourth one is in verse 10 also, eagerness to be rich. When we're eager to fatten up on riches, we become envious of those who have more than we do. The more we pursue a lifestyle beyond our means as a way of keeping up, putting our faith in money to bring us happiness, the more likely we are to wander away from the faith that actually sustains us. So we need to change our diets, and I'm up in my time. So let me just quickly go. The antidote for those four things that will kill you are also in here. He sets out in verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. The antidote is to set our hopes on God and not on riches. speaks for itself. Verse 18 says, the second one, the antidote is, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who... No, I'm in the wrong one. 18. Yeah. They are to do good, to be rich in good works. This is better. I was enjoying that other one, though. Maybe okay. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share. That's an antidote to the spirit in this world right now. Not to hang on to what little we have, thinking that however rich we are, that that's going to be the answer, and I need more of that, but it's to actually be generous. Be rich in good works, be about the stuff of God, and be generous with what you have, ready to share. Those three antidotes. Set your hopes on God and not on riches. Be rich in good works, and be generous and ready to share. It'll make the difference. We all, and I mean all of us, are being hoodwinked. And if you've ever cast Masonic demons out of anybody, you know what hoodwinked is. it's a horrible thing, you know, but... Robert, you're enjoying that too much. They put the hood over you and make you recite things out of a place of darkness and blindness. And you don't even know what you're saying in this deprived state. And you take on these demons in the Masonic. Anyway, doesn't matter. But we are being hoodwinked in the same fashion. We are being peer pressured into buying what the world is all about. You think you're above it? You think wrong. This world is sweeping us all in the same current to the same place, and we just don't recognize it because it's way too much fun. It's like having Pringles chips, you know? They're so darn tasty. They'll kill you, but but it's enjoyable death. We're being taken down to a place that we're not even prepared to fight. Recognize that it's happening. Recognize that you need to be about godly stuff and know what's actually got a hold of you. Recognize that the stuff that they're trying to feed us will kill us, but there is an antidote. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 and 18, read it three times this week. It'll take you less than 30 seconds, just three times this week, and see what it does to you. You've got a sickness. That's the cure. The prescription is there for you. If you read it more, you'll get better.